Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Anyone who has ever interacted with a cat can tell you they can be perplexing animals. But cat behaviorist Jackson Galaxy would argue that a lot of that confusion comes from what he terms looking at cats through dog-colored glasses.
Galaxy is the host of My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet, and his new book, Total Cat Mojo, is a complete guide to understanding the felines in your life. Galaxy will be in Milwaukee this Wednesday for an event at Turner Hall, but I had a chance to speak with him over the phone before his trip. Jackson Galaxy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
It's my pleasure. I'm really glad to be here.
So this isn't your first foray into book writing. You have this new book, Total Cat Mojo, but it does seem to be pretty different from your previous books. How do you compare it to your books like Catify, To Satisfy, or Catification?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the other books would sort of gloss over the whole shebang, and really, Total Cat Mojo is the whole shebang. I mean, it's pretty much everything I know about cats in one place, which was a really scary undertaking, I got to tell you. I mean, it was a tough thing to put down, you know. But no, the other ones, you know, for instance, Catification was really about designing, you know, your home for cats. Catify, To Satisfy, a follow-up. And Cat Daddy was a memoir, but it had helpful tips throughout. And this one is really soup to nuts, you know. It's everything I know.
How did you compile this information? How did you weed out what you felt like didn't need to be there and put in really the information that any cat owner needs to know?
Well, for me, you know, when I first started not just learning about cats, but teaching about cats, a lot of it was about, you know, how to get it into a form that could easily be digested by people, because honestly, cats are so unknowable, you know, to so many people as opposed to dogs. So I really tried to narrow it down and try to give people this starting point. And the concept of Cat Mojo was that starting point. And that is this concept of the utmost confidence that a cat can have. And that's based in their sort of natural state, you know, what I call the raw cat, and everything that feeds into that. And so the whole book became this. As long as it had something to do with mojo, it was going in the book. As long as I could connect it to confidence and to, you know, a cat's natural sense of being and a place in the world, then that's what went in there.
You do use this term, mojo, cat mojo. How do you define that, and what does it really encompass?
Cat mojo is, and it's funny because there's a whole chapter in the book where I start talking about doing this speech in, I think it was in Colombia or Argentina. And I was talking to, obviously talking through a translator, and I start talking about the concept of mojo, and all of a sudden there's crickets, like nobody was getting it. And I suddenly realized that nobody understood what the term mojo meant. I always thought that the concept of mojo was sort of this thing that everybody knew, like, you know, I got my mojo working, you know, that kind of thing, but nobody did. So mojo is, when you say I've got my mojo working, I got my mojo on, it's like this natural swagger. It's this natural sense of confidence, not cockiness, just an inner sense of confidence that radiates out to the rest of the world. And the example I use is John Travolta at the beginning of Saturday Night Fever walking down the street. And like, he's got that natural strut because the guy owns Brooklyn, you know. Cats own space if they're allowed to play into the things that their ancestors would need, which is, you know, the concept of territory is sacred, and I need to have pieces of that territory in order to feel that I own it. And the second thing is their natural need to wake up in the morning, hunt, catch, kill, and eat. Now, if they can't do that, which living in your apartment, we would hope they can't do that, then what we do to replace that need in a more acceptable way to humans is what feeds into that mojo. So again, it's about confidence. I mean, don't forget, cats are here for one reason. They have stayed along with us for tens of thousands of years, not because they were pets, but because they did a job. And that job was to kill other things. And they did it really well, and they continue to do it well. So as they transition into this world of being pets in people's homes and apartments. We still have to feed the beast, as it were. And of course, there's creative ways to do it. And that's a lot of what this book is about.
You know, you mentioned before about cats, of course, being compared to dogs. And you often hear people say things like, you know, well, I'm not a cat person, or I really don't get cats. And there does seem to be this kind of this disconnect between people and cats specifically. What are some of the barriers that people seem to have in communicating with cats in general?
The biggest thing is what I call looking at cats through dog-colored glasses. I mean, we expect cats to act like dogs. And other than the fact that they have four legs and they live in our house, that's really where it ends. I mean, dogs we have built to act the way we recognize, to do things for us, to look to us for appreciation, love, and cats don't. It wasn't what we had them around to do. We really didn't selectively breed cats for certain behaviors all these years. So it's really important to look at a cat for what they are, which is, in my point of view, a barely domesticated animal living in your house. And as such, and this is a tough part for a lot of people, you have to compromise with a cat in order to have a good life with them. And that's, like I said, that's kind of tough for people to swallow.
Yeah. What are the kinds of issues that this kind of miscommunication can cause with cats and their owners?
You know, one of the things about the sort of inscrutability that cats have always sort of had with humans is that we then project our worst traits onto them. So if a cat's sitting there staring at you and you happen to have had a bad day, you can easily go to "the cat hates me," because you don't know what else you're looking for, you know? And then, God forbid, the cat does something like pee in your shoe, you know, it's all bets off. And all of a sudden they're the worst animal. They're the worst pet. They hate you. They hate the family. They, you know, and we dive off into this projection deep end that's part of what I think my job is to have you step away from that. And if you understand them from motivations to body language, then you have a different starting point, which will hopefully give you more patience and more empathy with the animal that you live with.
So when you're talking to people about their cats, whether it's on the television show or just in life in general, what are some of the common behaviors that people find really mystifying?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have a job if it weren't for cats peeing and pooping outside the box. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's pee and poop, blood and guts. I mean, if it's aggression or litter box behavior, that's what stumps people. And that's the way the cats act out the most. So, you know, it's those things. I mean, there is no greater insult to a human being than to have a cat pee on your stuff, or that you're petting a cat and suddenly they turn on you and bite you. And it's always random, or it's out of the blue, and I didn't do anything, and why does my cat hate me? And again, my hope is you read this book and that phrase will never come out of your mouth again. You know, it was out of the blue. It was random. You know, that kind of thing.
Now, there are a lot of misconceptions, I think, about cats in general, ranging from, like, folklore about them being evil or stealing the spirits of babies, which is an actual folklore. But there are others that are still pretty detrimental, even if they aren't sort of mystical in that way. What are some of these common misconceptions?
Well, I mean, the sense that cats are solitary and aloof, I think, is one of the biggest ones. You know, and God knows the world of cartoons and such, you know, such things have really propagated that. But honestly, it's not the case. Cats are incredibly social animals. They don't live by themselves out in the wild. They live in colonies. They even nurse each other's young. They're very communal minded. The only thing that cats do in a solitary way is hunt. Other than that, they need company. So the way they need and the way they show that need is completely different from the way a dog does it. And that's really where we have to start again, that a cat's not a dog.
What are some of their unique emotional needs? Because as you said, they do come off as being aloof, as not wanting that kind of community.
But again, I think that the reason we're saying that is because we're thinking of dogs. So when we think of a dog wanting something, we think of the big wagging tail and the and the sort of slobbering and the panting really, really hard and their ears going down and looking really cute at you and pawing at you. And that's how we say, my dog loves me. My dog wants my attention. And because cats just don't express that way, we go the other end. Cats are, in terms of communication, they're much quieter. They don't demand the way dogs demand, and they don't expect what dogs expect, you know? I mean, I know I'm painting this with a huge brush, but what we call aloof is only in place because of that comparative place that we start from. For instance, you know, this whole thing that I've talked about for years, the cat I love you, or the slow blink, that is my way of breaking the ice with a cat, that a slow, soft blink that they then return to you is a way of them saying, I trust you. I love you. I trust you. And for a wild animal to close their eyes to what could be prey or predator is a huge thing, you know? Another example is what I call the cat hug, which is a cat who rolls on their back for you. Now, is that an invitation to rub their belly? No. And then you're going to find out because they're going to scratch you when you try to rub their belly. But again, that show of vulnerability, that show of that center line, which in the wild, you show any animal that center line and you risk being completely eviscerated. That show is the ultimate trust for an animal that lives by their wits, who is right in the middle of the food chain. We have to remember who we're living with, you know?
So who do you think is the audience for Total Cat Mojo? Is it someone who's just gotten a cat, who might be getting a cat, or is it someone who has a lot of experience?
Everybody. Honestly, I don't usually toot my horn about things. I really don't. This book, to me, is what I get to sort of leave behind. I mean, I'm probably not going to write another book for a while. This was sort of everything that I could give everybody, and that means whether you've never had a cat before, whether you're afraid of cats, whether you hate cats, because I know that I can get you past that place, or whether you've had cats all your life, I know that there's something that you can walk away with that you didn't have before. The most important thing that I weave throughout the book is the concept of relationship. The concept that you don't own a cat. They're not just something you have. It's a relationship that you're in. And cats do mirror a lot of human relationships. And for instance, if you want to have a successful relationship with a human, you have to be prepared to compromise, to listen when you don't feel like it, to actually bend in a way that is inconvenient to you. A successful relationship with a cat demands the same. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, maybe over the top a little bit, but the bottom line is the payoff is huge. And it's not just about getting a cat not to pee on stuff or not to be aggressive. It's a level of connection that I have found is so incredibly deep. And that's the payoff, you know? It's a lifelong relationship. And I think that if we start to approach living with cats, or any animal for that matter, as a relationship, good things happen and bad things are less apt to happen.
Well, Jackson Galaxy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
It's been my pleasure, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Jackson Galaxy is the author of Total Cat Mojo, and he's the host of My Cat from Hell on Animal Planet. He'll be in Milwaukee this Wednesday, November 1st, for an event at Turner Hall. There is more information at wuwm.com.